Well, good morning, and so glad that you are here. Welcome to Second Baptist Church, and grateful that you've chosen to worship with us today, and looking forward to what the Lord has in store for us today. Let me just say a special welcome to our guest. Would love to connect with you. There's a couple ways that we can do that. There is a card in the pew back in front of you. If you're online, there's a link on our website, sbcr.org, and there's a button that says I'm new. There's also a QR code on the back for any of our guests that want to connect that way. We have a church text number that we just try to keep you updated in some ways. So anyway, there are a few ways that you can connect with us, know what's going on in the life and ministry of our church. And so I want to make you aware of a few things that are happening and going on. First of all, our Wednesday night activities are up and running, and just especially want to plug our children's ministry. Our leaders are doing such a great job with that, and so would really love for you to invite friends, family, invite kids to come and be a part of that. And free meal at 5:30 every Wednesday night. Activities happen from 6 to 7, our children and our youth, and that group is continuing to dig into the study they're doing right now. And so some great opportunities on Wednesday nights. And then 7:15, we have another meal for our college students. And then 8 to 9 is our collegiate service there. And so, again, would love for you all to be a part of that. And then October 27th is our, 2 weeks from tonight, is our trunk or treat. And we do have plenty of opportunities, plenty of needs to help serve. There's a sign-up sheet out at the desk there in the foyer. If you're able to sign up and help be a part of that, we would sure appreciate it. It's an awesome night to get to be hands and feet of Christ in our community. We have a lot of folks typically turn out for that, and so it'll be a great time together. So there's information in your bulletin about that, and so again, thank you so much for all the help. We are continuing to collect candy for that, and I understand it. Candy's expensive. They're not giving that stuff away. And we have a very large goal to try to meet 30,000 pieces of candy that we typically give away that night. And so as you're going to the grocery store or making your Walmart pickup or whatever it may be, if you can add some bags of candy here and there, there's a collection box over by the office there. If you bring it through these doors, you can just set it on the desk there somewhere close by, and we'll collect it and continue to add it to the pile. And so, again, thank you so much for helping with that. It's going to be a fun night. Looking forward to that that night. So it's one of the fun events of the year that we do. Well, we're going to get ready to pray in just a moment. And before I do, we do have a guest with us this morning. Jerry Borbon serves over at First Baptist here in town. And so Matt and Kaylin, they're back home visiting family. Brother Robert is also got a trip with his mom this Sunday. And so I appreciate Jerry coming over and helping serve us this morning. And so y'all be praying for him, excited about him leading us in worship. And so just thank you so much for being here. All right, well, First Thessalonians chapter 3, Paul writes this. He says, "Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way to you." And this is what he says he's praying for them. He says, "And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all the saints." And so that's just the way that he's praying for the brothers and sisters at Thessalonica. And so just wanted to direct our hearts that way this morning as we get ready to sing to the Lord, study the Word of God together. May Christ be exalted in all that we say and do. So if you will, if you'll just bow your head and close your eyes, and let's take a moment to pray. Lord Jesus, we love you and we praise you. We thank you for all things. I pray, God, that you would be exalted, that you would be glorified. Lord, I pray that, God, that you would help our hearts, our minds abound toward love. As Paul writes to the church at Thessalonica, that we would focus our hearts' attention on you. God, I pray this morning that we would sing and worship you both in spirit and in truth, that, Lord, we would study your word and apply it to our lives. Help us to be more like Jesus today. And we love you and praise you. We thank you for all things. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Chris. It's just a privilege to be here. I work at First Baptist Church. I actually do all their creative stuff, their media stuff. And so it's an opportunity and honor just to be here, just to do my other thing I like to do, which is play and sing music and just lead everybody in worship. So why don't y'all stand up and let's join together in worship.
He's coming on the clouds, kings and kingdoms will bow down. And every chain will break as broken hearts declare his praise. For who can stop the Lord Almighty? Our God is a lion, the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles. And every knee will bow before him. Our God is the Lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. His blood breaks the chains. And every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Every knee will bow before him. Oh,
oh, oh. Open up the gates.
And open up the gates. Make way before the King of Kings.
For we know our God comes to save.
The God who comes to save. It's here to set the captives free. For who can stop the Lord Almighty? Our God is a lion, the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles. And every knee will bow before him. Our God is a lamb, the Lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. His blood breaks the chains. And every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Every knee will bow before him.
Do you believe our God is almighty, that no one can stop him? Sing this out.
For who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty?
Sing that again.
Who can stop the Lord Almighty God? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty God? Who can stop the Lord? Our God is a lion, the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles. And every knee will bow before him. Our God is his Lamb, the Lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. His blood breaks the chains. And every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Every knee will bow before him.
Amen. when I was looking at some of these songs and stuff, I really didn't know. Like I said, I haven't sang in a while, and just these songs just opened up to my heart of just how powerful our God is, that he's always fighting our battles. So there's going to be some days that you're struggling with so many things, work, finances, relationships, families, and stuff like that. And, you know, last 2 weeks have been the hardest because my mom had a mini stroke. Apparently, she had another stroke before that, and it was just, and something happened with my nephew, and it's just stuff that's out of my control. And that's the worst thing, is it's out of my control. But we know that our God is greater than that in all our struggles. And sometimes we need to be reminded that, you know, his blood paid it all, and he's the one that made a way for all of us.
The Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness washed in prayer, find in me thy all in all.
Sing it out if you know it.
Jesus paid it all.
Sing it out. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Song for y'all before Brother Chris can come up. So this is one of my favorite songs, and it's going to be a little different, but it's going to still be the same song and hold one of my favorite modern hymns. Mm-hmm.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before. Oh my soul. I worship Your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing Your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, sing it out. Let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before. Oh my soul. I worship Your holy name. You're rich in love and You're slow to anger. Your name is great and Your heart is kind. Of all Your goodness I will keep on singing. Bless the Lord, oh my soul.
Pray really quick. Dear God, thank You for bringing us all together here, and I pray for Chris as he brings the message here, and I just hope that we come here with open arms and open hearts and open minds, Lord, and I pray this all in Your name. Amen.
Well, amen. Well, the Lord is good, and He is worthy to be praised, and so if you have your Bible this morning, and I hope that you do, would you turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 6. John chapter 6. We are going to be talking this morning about a well-known miracle, well-known interaction, a moment here of Jesus walking on water. And we're going to dive into that this morning and talk about it. Speaking of walking on water, we have undergone this or underwent this small project in our house, and it, like most projects, turned into something more than what we bargained for. But it does include the need for some sheetrock and drywall, and so right now, if you'd pray for me, I need Jesus to walk on water at my house, right? To get this sheetrock and all of that to turn out in a way that's manageable to the eye. I don't even need pleasing to the eye. I need manageable, right? That's what I'm settling for. But so this morning, we want to look at the Gospel of John, Jesus walking on water. And what we're going to do, I did this last week as well, and this isn't the plan to continue through the Gospel of John in this manner. But what we're going to do, we're going to read John's account in John's Gospel here, and then we'll read that together in a moment. We'll stand and read in a minute. Then after that, I'll let you sit, and I'm going to read you the Matthew account of that, and we're mostly going to work from the account that Matthew has. Matthew has a few more details, including Peter getting out of the boat and walking on water, and we're going to touch on that just a little bit, but Matthew gives a few more details, and so we're going to work from that account. It's the same miracle, it's the same thing, and I don't know your thoughts or opinions, but just let me say, I understand at times that as you read through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and there's questions of why do they have different details, and then all these sorts of things, and here's the reality that just this morning, if we were to hit pause, say, hey, I need you to take out a sheet of paper and you write out, describe what you saw or heard this morning, out of the people in this room, we'd have a lot of different accounts. There's a ton of details that would line up, but you might notice or take note of things differently than somebody else, or you maybe notice a detail that somebody else didn't. And so that's what we have in the Gospel of John. Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, you have these personalities that God uses, their giftings, to give us some details and color in the pages, if you will, in a little different way. And so the Gospel of John, chapter 6, we're going to begin in verse 16, John 6, 16. So if you found your place, will you stand with me in the honor of the reading of the Word of God? John chapter 6, verse 16, it says, "Now when evening came, his disciples went down to the sea and got into the boat and went over to the sea toward Capernaum. And it was already dark, and Jesus had not come to them. Then the sea arose because a great wind was blowing. And when they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and drawing near the boat, and they were afraid. But he said to them, 'It is I, do not be afraid.' Then they willingly received him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land where they were going." Let's pray. Precious Jesus, we love and adore you. We thank you for your word and the truth of your word. God, thank you for the honesty and God, just the opportunity to sing clear, concise truth to you and about you. And Lord, we thank you that you have paid the debt that we owe. And so, Lord, I pray that this morning you would give me every word to say, nothing more, nothing less. Lord, I pray you'd fill me with your Spirit. Lord, I pray for everyone here. God, if anybody here doesn't know you, I pray they'd repent and believe on you today. God, I pray for those that are backslidden, God, far from you. I pray you'd restore them. And I pray for the saints of God that you would encourage them. Lord, hide me behind your cross. Fill me with your Spirit. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So we read John's account. So you may hold your place there if you want to, but if you'll turn back a few pages to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 14. Matthew, chapter 14. Now, as you're turning there, let me set the context in the Gospel of John. We've just read earlier in the chapter, Jesus has performed this miracle. I preached about little miracles, right? He takes the fish and the loaves, feeds the scripture says 5,000 men. We've said that could be anywhere from 10 to 20,000. regardless, Jesus meets the need that's there with this small little offering, and he takes and he satisfies. There's the taking up of the 12 baskets, which I think is one of those sort of God wink moments where he makes abundantly clear that he's providing enough and he's meeting every single need, and he hadn't forgotten about the disciples. And so out of that, they realize, they're beginning to fully comprehend and understand that Jesus is the Son of God. And then you remember, we just settled down in verse 15, that idea. Again, we went to Matthew and a few verses there just previous to our text this morning, and we looked at that Jesus had gone up into, he sent the disciples away, he sent the crowds away, he goes up to the mountain, and the Bible says he spent alone time there with the Lord. He's in prayer, he's in fellowship with God. And so we talked about getting alone with God, the importance and the necessity of spending time with God. Well, now what's happened is that he had sent the disciples away. He goes up to pray, and now they're out rowing in the sea. And this is where our text picks up in verse 22. Matthew 14, verse 22. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now, when evening came, he was alone there. Okay, so that's where we left off. And now here we go, verse 24. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." So he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. And when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were with him, or who were in the boat, came and worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." And so if you're taking notes this morning, I want to highlight the main idea, and here it is walking on water is an act of God. I realize in understanding this from the scripture, like, this is a sort of a not a big aha moment, right? That walking on water is an act of God. But I need you to see and understand that's the drive, that's the thrust of the text, that's the focus. We're going to talk about Peter and the other disciples. We're going to talk about the storms and storms of life and some of that, and draw some of those things out, because I think those are lessons to be learned. But what I need us to understand very clearly this morning, John's account and Matthew's account has one main purpose, and that is to make abundantly clear that Jesus is the Son of God, that He is God. So the main idea of the text this morning is that walking on water is an act of God, and an act of God alone. Okay? So then the question of the text is this, is do you trust God in the hardest of times? I don't know what sort of season you're going through. I don't know what sort of things of adversity or difficulty or what things you face recently. But I just need you to hear this morning that the Lord Jesus can be trusted this morning. He can be leaned on. He can be trusted with all the weight, all the burden, all the adversity that you're going through, that you're facing. He can be trusted this morning. And I know that sounds like elementary, or it sounds so simple, but it's a truth that I think oftentimes we need to be reminded of, because life is tough and life is difficult, and adversity after adversity, challenge after challenge begins to weigh on us. And what you would think, what should happen, right, is the more those things come, the more we lean into the Lord. But what tends to happen, it's the more that we try to shoulder things, we try to control and handle things, and it usually is just the opposite. We tend to don't trust the Lord with as much. But I need you to hear this morning that walking on water is an act of God and that He can be trusted because He is God. And so, four truths I want us to see from Matthew chapter 14. Number one, Jesus walks where you can't. Jesus walks where you can't. Notice verses 22 on down to verse 27. Immediately, Jesus made His disciples get into the boat and go before Him to the other side while He sent the multitudes away. And when He had sent the multitudes away, He went up on the mountain by Himself to pray. Now, when evening came, He was alone there. We talked about the significance of Him going and spending time with God. It's not necessarily that Jesus and His deity needed it, but remember, Jesus is fully God, yet fully human. So the humanity side needed that, but also it's a model for us. It's a reminder for us that we need alone time with God. So let's press on to verse 24. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them. So this was somewhere between 3 a.m. To 6 a.m. in that time frame. So Jesus has prayed effectively. He's prayed through the night. And the boat is pushed off. The disciples are in the boat. They're there in the middle of the sea. They're some distance away from the shore. So this is not just just a small journey away. But notice what happens. Verse 25. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. Well, don't you love? The Bible just sort of states it real clearly, real simple, as if there's nothing to be surprised about, right? You got to remember, these are disciples who spent time with Jesus, and they have been seeing the activity of God. They've been seeing these things happen. And so for them, it's a statement of importance, but it's just saying, hey, this is what happened. I'm telling you, they're testifying to what they saw. And so there he is. He's walking on water. Verse 26. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost," and they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." The first reaction of the disciples was that it was a ghost. It's just a ghost, and they were scared. I'm sure there was some intimidation because the storm was significant. But also, here we are. We're 3 or 4 miles out. By the way, really dark, and I don't know, like, there's dark and then there's country dark. Anybody know what country dark is? There's a difference, right? There's a big difference. Hey, this is one of the reasons that, man, I was praying that God would move us from Memphis, because I walk out of our apartment, look up, and I could barely see the stars, right? And that just drove me crazy because the aura of the lights of the city. And then, so anyway, so there's country dark. Well, 3 or 4 miles from shore, out in the middle of this sea, particularly at the day and time where you don't have all the city lights, all the things, it's country dark, okay? But nonetheless, some way, somehow, maybe it's a torch on their boat or whatever, they see a figure walking on the water. Now, it's stormy. They're not. That's not unusual for them. They certainly have experienced those. Remember, several of them were fishermen. So it's not their first time on a boat, and certainly not the first time on a boat in a storm. But it's their first time in a boat in a storm. And old boy's out there walking on water. Yeah, put yourself there, all right? It's easy to read this and go, what were they afraid of? Yeah, go ahead, right? You're there, closest buddies hanging out and all that sort of thing, probably tired, and maybe somebody notices first, and you know what it's like when it's dark, and especially those of you that are hunters. How many of you are hunters? Like, you've sat on a deer stand and it's right before dark, and that you maybe haven't experienced this, but you can turn a twig of a tree into the lifetime buck. Okay, has anybody ever experienced this? Like, you're sitting on a tree. I know some of you are like, what are you talking about? When it's real early and there's some bush or something, and you think this lifetime deer is coming out, and then as it gets more daylight, you go, it still could be. I mean, it's been standing there for 30 minutes and hasn't moved, but there's still hope, right? So early on, man, they've been in the boat. I'm sure they're tired, they're fatigued, and man, they see this figure out there, and somebody notices it. I'm sure they're trying to, man, clear their eyes up and all that kind of thing. And so initially there's this fear that comes over them. And it's easy for us to read this and go, of course it's Jesus. But put yourself there for a moment, all right? You had never seen anybody walk on water. So why would you think that he was going to, all right? But there they are. They're in the boat. They're watching this figure. And they're afraid. Their first reaction that it's a ghost. But I want you to notice this. And there's some truth I want us to learn from this. That Jesus walks where we can't. They're not assuming that any man or any person has this ability. Notice the end of verse 26. It is a ghost and they cried out for fear. But look at this. But immediately Jesus spoke to them saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. There's something I want us to get from this. First of all, this helps us to affirm that they knew unequivocally that it was Jesus. Right? They knew unequivocally that it was Jesus because he does not say, hey, it's Jesus. You're just with him. Like we were just together, you know. Like he all he says is, hey, it's me. And so he unequivocally answers a question that it's Jesus here. It's not a ghost. It's not a figment of your imagination. It's not something you're dreaming up. Rather, it's me. But then I also want you to notice that they immediately knew it was him. And all he said, it was me. What does it take? I realize we live day and time. Some of you don't know the luxury of the anxiety of having to pick up a phone without knowing who it is, right? Those of you remember the phone on the wall, or I know some of y'all got stories long before that, all right? But there was no caller ID, and there was a lot of anxiety about who was on the other end, who's calling, what kind of call is this going to be? Now, I mean, we've got it even tells us if it's a spam call. Wasn't that long ago, there was no such thing, right? And so when you picked up the phone, oftentimes, those that are closest to you did not have to say, hey, it's grandma, or hey, it's, they could just speak, and you knew who it was. Why? Because you knew the sound of their voice. I don't want to make more out of this, because this is not the drive of the text, but I think it's significant that Jesus says, hey, it's me. The disciples knew who it was. That this was not just another man, this was not just a follower, this isn't one of the crazies that's been following Jesus around looking for something, but rather it's Jesus. But I want you to see this, it's unequivocally Jesus, and Jesus is without a doubt, he has walked on water, he has walked across the sea to come, proving once again to the disciples that he is the Son of God, and not to be cliche, but he walks where no man can walk. And that's significant because I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you're walking through, but I can tell you this, that you are not facing anything that Jesus can't walk with you through. Jesus can't meet you right where you're at because Jesus walks where no man can walk. Job 9 and verse 8, the Bible says this about the God of creation. He alone spreads out the heavens and treads on the waves of the sea. It's God and God alone. Psalm 93 verse 3 and 4 says, the floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their waves. The Lord is on high, is mightier than the noise of many waters, than the mighty waves of the sea. He is walking on the water, not just to say, hey, look, this is a cool magic trick, and come show it with your buddies, but rather he is walking on the water because he's the one that created them. He is sovereign. He is Lord. He is the God of creation. And so number one, Jesus walks where you can't. Number two, Jesus calls where you don't belong. Jesus calls where you don't belong. Notice the text, verse 28 and 29. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. So he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on water to go to Jesus. Now, there's a lot of fascinating things here. I don't know. I mean, you think for just a moment. You've been with Jesus for a while now. He sends you away in the middle of the night. You're rowing across the lake. You're trying to get to the destination. Middle of the night, Jesus walks up on you, and you're in a boat, and he's not, and all the things. And you realize, hey, this is Jesus. I would like to say that I would be really spiritual and have a ton of faith and go, hey, Jesus, pick me. Man, pick me. I wanna do that. I'll be honest with you, I'm not sure that's what would have crossed my mind. But somehow that's what crosses Peter's mind. He's that friend, I guess, that's bold, that has no doubt, that excited about that moment. But his reaction is to get out of the boat and go to Jesus. It's fascinating. We're going to see in just a moment where he struggles in his faith, but at least in this moment, he is intrigued by getting out of the boat and coming to Jesus. And notice verse 29, so he said, come. Jesus invites him out of the boat and to come to him. And again, I don't want too much allegory, and I don't want to make more out of this than what's there. But there is something to be said that Peter has complete faith that in this ability to walk on water because Jesus had called him, Jesus allowed him, Jesus beckoned him. And friend, I think it's not stretching the text too much here that I realize that oftentimes we get in life circumstances and everything around us says, man, there's no way, it's not possible, it can't be done. But there are things in life where Jesus can call you to himself, beckon you to himself, and call you to do the impossible because he's in the middle of it. He's in the midst of it. And so we're going to have a moment to, if you will, criticize Peter of sorts. But dear friend, let us not miss the fact that he was, as far as we know, the only one that at least had a moment of faith and belief that Jesus would call him to himself and he was willing to get out of the boat. Y'all, I think at times we miss out on some special activity of God because we won't even get out of the boat. We miss out on God wanting to do some things because we won't get out of the boat. What do you mean? I think we miss out on seeing friends come to faith in Christ because we won't even open up our mouth and share the gospel. Because we have all these excuses. I don't know enough Bible verses. I can't. I don't know the 66 books in order. And I don't know them in alphabetical order. I haven't been a church member of this church for very long. All these excuses. But dear friend, if you know enough of the gospel to be saved, you know enough of the gospel to tell somebody else how to be saved. And I don't know about, and there's these opportunities to serve in this area, to do this, or to be a part of this, or to be on this area of ministry to help with, or whatever it is, and I don't know enough, or I don't know, and I can't. I think so often, we miss out on opportunities because we're not bold enough to get out of the boat. God calling you to start a Bible study with your friends. God's calling you to ministry. Maybe some of you, God's stirring in your heart for salvation. Going, well, if I follow Christ, then what does that mean for this area of my life, this area for my life? And dear friend, let me tell you, it comes down to one word. All these things that I've just talked about, it comes down to one word. I want you to write this one word down. Faith. Faith. Not faith in yourself, not faith in people around you that'll help you figure it out, not faith that there's some safety net there that if everything falls apart, I'm going to be okay, but absolute faith of climbing out of a boat in the middle of a storm because Jesus said, come. Why? Because I have faith in the one who walks on water. Deuteronomy 31 verse 6 says, be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them, for the Lord your God, He is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Pastor, I don't know if I can give. I don't know if I can tithe. I don't know if I can do those things. Trust the Lord financially. Get out of the boat. I don't know if I can serve in that way. I don't know if I'm bold enough to go on that mission trip. I don't. Get out of the boat. It's faith. Faith. So number one, Jesus walks where you can't. Number two, Jesus calls where you don't belong. Peter didn't belong on the water. Not like that. But God does a supernatural miracle in Peter's life in front of these others. And number three, Jesus saves when no one else can. Verse 30. But when he saw the wind, saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? So what happens? Yes, Peter's got faith to get out of the boat, and then he is walking on water. He has this moment, but notice what happens. Listen to what the Bible says about his eyes. But when he saw, mark or underline that, when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out saying, Lord, save me. What happens, all these situations I just described, it may be that you've been willing to get out of the boat and go, man, well, it didn't go well last time. Well, I wonder if that's because you took your eyes off Jesus and put your eyes on life circumstances. You put your eyes in the mirror. You put your eyes on all these other things and all the can'ts and what ifs and all this stuff. And that's what happens to Peter. Peter gets out of the boat and he's fine until he begins to look at the circumstances and he forgot to look at the one that's on the water. And dear friend, let me encourage you. You go where your eyes are. Some of our football guys, man, some of them played athletics and sports, you know this. Your eyes are everything. Your eyes tell it all. And this is what Matthew is pointing out here in this text. This is why I want to spend time here. Because he says, but when he saw the wind was boisterous. The wind was bad before he got out of the boat. It wasn't calm, cool day, and then all of a sudden the wind came up. No, it was not a great night for being out in the boat when he got out of the boat. What changed? Nothing changed except for what Peter was focused on. So he says, when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink, and he cried out saying, Lord, save me. And immediately, boy, don't you love that? Immediately. Jesus didn't make Peter tread water for a while. It didn't make him struggle. But by the grace and mercy of God, the Bible says immediately he stretched out his hand and caught him, said to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Remember, it comes down to one word. It comes down to faith. Don't you find it interesting? Nobody in the boat bailed out. We don't have any record here of the other disciples. They didn't jump out to go save him. I wonder if there were some in the boat going, that's what he gets. Trying to show off or show us up or whatever the case is. And I realize sometimes we're hard on Peter, and Peter rightfully deserves it at times. Now, I'm not sure, I'm quite confident he's not bragging about it, but I will say this, there's one disciple that at least has a story of being out on the water. And it's Peter. But Peter forgot for a moment. For a moment. Took his eyes off the Lord Jesus. Now, here was what I want you to think. As Peter is going down, if you were able to pause his sinking just for a moment before Jesus reaches out and saves him. If you were to pause just for a moment and quiz Peter. Hey, Peter, have you ever seen Jesus do anything miraculous? Yeah, I saw him heal a man. I saw him give sight to the blind. Hey, Peter, have you ever seen Jesus feed a bunch of folks? Yeah, I saw. Man, let me tell you, one time I saw at least 5,000 men. I don't know how many were there, 10, 20,000. And he took these little bit of fish and loaves. Hey, Peter, have you ever seen the Spirit of God descend on Jesus? Yeah, whenever he came up out of the water, I saw. If you could have paused just for a moment, he could have told you all of those things. Because let me tell you something, faith is not about what you know. It's about who you trust. See, Peter knew all the facts and Peter had it all right, but just for a moment, he let the circumstances change who he was trusting in. Friend, I don't know what brought you in this morning, and I don't know where you're at. And you may be able to make a perfect score on the Sunday school SAT. But somehow life has caused you to trust in something else other than the Lord Jesus. And let me just say this. Some of you here, maybe you've never surrendered your life to Jesus. You go, Pastor, more than anything, I need to be saved today. Dear friend, one thing I know about salvation is that this word immediately, that if you'll repent of your sins and place your faith and trust in Christ, Jesus and Jesus alone will save you. Total faith, trusting in Him. James 1:5 says, but let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Well, what a fascinating illustration given our text. Hebrews 12:2. Notice the eyes here, the encouragement from the writer of Hebrews, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He says, how do you run this race of life? You do it by fixing your eyes on Jesus. See, Jesus can save when no one else can. And then number four. Jesus is worshiped like only Jesus should be. Remember, the drive of the text is that walking on water is an act of God. So notice verse 32 and 33. And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshiped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. What's Jesus doing? Jesus is building faith in these men. He's building faith in them. He's doing these things. Yes, he's doing things to meet a need. He's doing things to because there are blind people who need sight. There are paralyzed people who need to be able to walk again. Jesus is doing these miracles because he loves people and meeting those needs. He's feeding the 5,000 because they're hungry. But he is also doing these things because these acts, these things, are building up faith in the men that he will later use to establish the New Testament church and spread the gospel of Jesus. Why are they building up faith? Why? Because these and these alone are acts of God. And he's doing it for the glory of God. We don't have any record of when they get back in the boat, them cornering Peter up and saying, hey, tell me about it. Man, what'd it feel like? What'd it feel like to stand on water? What was it like when you were going down? What'd it feel like when Jesus lifted you up? No, what'd they do? They sat, got near Jesus, and they worshiped him. Why? Because he and he alone is worthy of our worship. He and he alone is worthy of our praise. Man, if we're going to bless this, my soul's going to bless anybody, bless anything, worship anybody, anything, it's going to be the Lord Jesus. Because he and he alone is worthy of our praise. He and he alone is worthy of our worship. Boy, it's building up this faith in these men. Later in Matthew, we have this account just a couple of chapters later. Jesus asked, who do they say that I am? And he says, who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered Matthew 16:16 and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then John makes it clear in John chapter 20 and verse 31, makes it clear why he wrote this gospel. He said, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Friend, if you don't know Jesus, that's why I've come this morning. And to preach the Word of God, that's why we've gathered this morning, that you may know Jesus in a personal and intimate way. That you may have life in his name. If you've never surrendered your heart and life to Jesus, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Repent of your sins and place your faith and trust in Christ. For those of you that do know Christ, listen, walking on water is an act of God. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what the doctor report says. I don't know what the bank account says. I don't know what life circumstances say. But I know this, is that Jesus and Jesus alone walks on water. And I don't know what he's calling you to. I don't know what he's calling you to trust him in. I don't know what he's calling you out of the boat of. But I'm telling you this, that there is no faith found in the boat. There's faith found outside the boat. And I'm telling you, dear friend, don't get to the end of your Christian life having lived a Christian life in the boat. I don't want to get to heaven and sit around the table. Anybody, family gatherings, seem like you always have like one or two people that were really good storytellers. They had all the fun stories. Does that happen to your family reunions? Yeah, it happened at mine. One of them was my stepdad. I would give anything to be able to tell a story like he could. All right, he was a great storyteller. And I remember one time as a little kid, he was not shy of the center of attention. Okay, I know some of y'all think I got that trait. I get you. All right, I hear you loud and clear. But he was not shy of being the center of attention. And I remember as a small child, I was 7 or 8 years old, Jerry, something like that, and Grandma lived right next door. And this big oak tree, and it's where we'd shell peas and shuck corn and all those wonderful memories. But underneath the tree there, and the family's gathered up, and everybody's got lawn chairs sitting around, and somehow, we started all in a big circle. And somehow, before we knew it, my stepdad is sitting in the middle of the circle telling stories and things. And I'm like, how does this even happen? Like, you know, I mean, there's 40 people sitting around telling stories. He got all these stories. You know what? Listen. Heaven's going to be solely about Jesus. But I am excited to work alongside Elijah and Peter. And some of these guys. And hear the stories firsthand of some things God's done. But at the same time, I hope along the way, there's an opportunity for me to share about some things God's done. That I got to see. That I got to be a part of. That God did and just let me get in on. They got to the shore. A lot of those dudes didn't have much of a story. Now, other than seeing Jesus walk on water, I fully get that. That's a pretty good story. But man, I'm telling you, there's so much more of the Christian life to live that a lot of us are missing out on because we won't trust the one who walks on water. And God wants to do more in your life than you ever dreamed of or imagined. So friend, if you don't know Christ, repent of your sins and place your faith and trust in Christ. If you do know Christ, maybe you're facing things and you've started shouldering them rather than shoving them and giving them to the Lord Jesus. Man, give some things to Him today. Maybe God's calling you out of the boat to ministry. Maybe God's calling you to go on a mission trip with us this next year. And take those steps today. Maybe you've been saved, but you need to be baptized. Take that step. Follow the Lord Jesus. I'm going to ask, if you will, bow your head and close your eyes. We're going to have a moment of prayer, a moment to respond. And here's the invitation today. If you don't know Jesus, be saved today. Well, I don't know how. Well, the Bible says if you'll repent, which means to turn from your sin, turn from all the things that are against the will and plan of God, and place your faith and trust in Him. Ask Him to save you. Ask Him to be the boss of your life. Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Friend, you can pray right where you're at and ask God to save you and be the boss of your life. And the Bible says God will save you. I'll lead you in what we call a sinner's prayer, but understand this, words of a prayer have never saved anybody. It's the attitude of your heart. If you mean it with all that you are, the Bible says God will save you. You may pray something like this. You can pray on your own. You don't need me. But maybe you need help communicating what's in your heart. Then you can pray something like this. Say, dear God, I know I'm a sinner. I know I've done wrong. And I ask you to forgive me. I ask you to wash away all my sins. And I ask you, Jesus, to save me. I place my faith and trust in you, that you're the Son of God. You came born of a virgin. You lived a sinless, perfect life. And you died on the cross for my sins. And you're coming again. I trust you. I ask you to be Lord of my life. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. And I'll be what you want me to be. Help me, Lord Jesus, and save me. In Jesus' name. With head bowed and every eye closed, nobody else looking around. If you prayed and asked Jesus to save you this morning and you meant it with all your heart, you just prayed right then and asked Jesus to save you, I want you to slip your head up and look right up here at me. Say, Pastor Chris, I prayed that today. We're going to have a time of invitation. And this is a time for us to respond to whatever God may have spoke to you today. Maybe just some things heavy on your heart, you just need to come and pray. In just a moment, I'm going to pray. And when we do, the invitation is open. Maybe you prayed and asked God to save you and you didn't look up or whatever the case is. Maybe you have in recent weeks and you've not made that decision public. I'm going to invite you down. Say, Pastor Chris, I asked Jesus to save me today or recently. Maybe you need to follow the Lord in baptism. You need to come. Maybe you're a Christian and just been struggling. Maybe God's calling you to get out of the boat in some way. Let's take a few moments and respond to Him. So when I pray, you come. Jesus, we love and adore you. We thank you for this testimony that we have, that you and you alone walk on water. And God, you can do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we can ask, imagine, or hope for. And so, Lord, I pray in these next few moments, however you've dealt with our heart, however you led us, I pray, God, help us not to stay where we are, but to get up and move. Lord, we love you and praise you. We ask in Jesus' name. You remain in attitude of prayer. If God dealt with your heart, you come. Need somebody to pray with you, I'd love to pray with you.
You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. give life. You are the love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. We are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. So I throw my hands up and praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but I've nothing else fit for a king except for a heart singing. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. Pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. It's your breath in our lungs. So I throw my hands up and praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but I'm nothing else fit for a king except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah.
Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to invite Jason up. He is really excited to speak into a microphone this morning, but anyway, I think he's...
My first time speaking into a microphone. Yeah. As all y'all know, October is Past Appreciation Month, and next week, immediately after the morning service, we are going to have a potluck to celebrate Pastor Chris and his family. Show them, you know, our appreciation for them. So bring your favorite dish. As far as I know, there's not a theme to it. Just bring whatever you want them to bring food-wise or dessert. And, plan on staying and helping us to celebrate Chris and his family. And that's all I got. Oh, and there will be a table set up in the back for words of encouragement or gifts or whatever you want to do.
Amen. We are grateful for Second Baptist and how they love us. I was asked if there was a theme, and I said, "Are you kidding? Look at me. I just like food." So, amen. Hey, grateful for you. Thank God for you. And so, Be back with us on Wednesday for our children's and youth activities. And then the sign-up sheet, don't forget that for Trunk or Treat. If you can do anything to help us with that, we sure will be grateful for that. And then continuing to collect candy, all right? All right, well, let's stand together. And again, if you're a guest, thank you so much for being here. Sure grateful you've chosen to be with us this week. So, and as we leave, get an opportunity to give as we go. And just grateful for a chance to give back to what the Lord's first given us. Amen. So let me pray for us. Jesus, you're good, and we love and adore you. We thank you for how you love and care for us. I pray, God, that today we would continue to exalt you in all that we say and do. Lord, be with us this week. Help us to be a witness for you. And Lord, we love you and praise you. We thank you for all things. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.